Speaker is David Acheson, Managing Director of the Food and Import Safety, Levi Partners, former Associate Commissioner for Food and Drug Administration. No. Oh, you're right. It's Robert Peterson, Manager, European Agriculture and Food Consortium. Thank you, Robert.
Okay.
It'll go
sum up and then stop. Okay. Thanks for the invitation and the introduction. I think what I'm going to do is I'm picking up on what the previous speaker said is what we're trying to do is influence policy to create healthier food environments. And what I'm going to do is to try to give a really practical case study on what we did in the EU around establishing a European school fruit and vegetable scheme. Basically, what I want to do is I want to start with my key messages, and this is what I really want you to remember and take home. One of the things I like to say is agriculture and food policy is one of the primary determinants of health. From a public health point of view, we've often criticized agriculture policy in affecting public health in a negative way. But what we're really trying to do currently with the opportunities that exist is how do we use agriculture and food policy to lever behavior change? And one of the key elements in doing this is creating environments that are conducive to healthy eating. The other thing is what we're looking at is we need to scale up change and use local evidence to influence macro policy. Now, this is what we really did in the EU program, and also internationally. The next speaker, Lorelei, will do what they did in the United States. But what we've done is we've levered our experiences from the United States, from Denmark, from England, from the EU to kind of create a positive cycle of expanding budgets so that we can have a larger impact on creating these healthy environments. So what we need to do is scale up change. We had a richness of evidence from programs in Norway, Holland, the UK, Denmark, New Zealand, British Columbia, and Ireland. And we could use this not just to say that we have evidence that that fruit and vegetables have a profound effect on human health, but also that we knew how to influence change and we knew how to make the programs work. The next statement, I don't want to make it sound like I don't believe in evidence, because I truly believe in policy that's based on evidence. But I think we have to remember the reality that there's a lot of policy that's not based on evidence. There's also policy that's in spite of evidence, and there's policy that's based on partial evidence. So I think that evidence is really important, but there's two things in this statement. One is we have to know, when do we have enough evidence? And I think what we really did with working on school fruit and vegetable schemes was, as we made we said, okay, we know enough to take action. We know what works. We know that fruit and vegetables are healthy. So we know enough to take action. So let's create action and then have an iterative process where we have evidence feeding into policy, programs, and then evaluating the programs to make sure that they work, in fact. The next thing is that in order for all of this to work, we have to consider what sort of political will is it politically doable. We need to build partnerships. I think the first speaker, in order to make any sort of change, we need to create partnerships. Now, when we were advocating for this program and briefing the parliament, if we didn't put the right people at the table, then we'd have a really difficult time making our message heard. So we need to package our evidence. We need to spin it in a way that decision makers understand. I think Lorelei has said to me many times, we have to put it into one sentence statements. That's the way to make it understandable. And that when we know the benefits, that we need to market these relentlessly to our decision makers. Now, effective change is environmental change and adequate public policy. What I'd like to say is, now, we look at policy sometimes as being a very slow-moving process, but in this case, from the point in time where we had the idea to have an EU framework for school fruit and vegetable schemes, it actually, the idea was developed in Ottawa at a conference in 2006, until now when the program is implemented and the first countries are drawing down funds. It's only been a 3-year process. But I think some of the key success factors to why we could get it done so quickly was that we shared information. We knew that we had to build partnerships. We needed to get the right people around the table, and that we knew exactly what we were asking for. We asked for 100 million, and we got 90 million euros per year. Now, the whole idea behind this was having a sustainable financial framework, multi-annual, because what we were seeing was that a lot of countries had programs, but they weren't able to expand existing programs, and countries that were interested in starting programs didn't have the financial means available. So what we were looking at was establishing a win-win situation, or I guess a win-win-win situation with agriculture, public health, and the primary benefit, the school children at the end of the day. So what we're trying to do is really integrate and look at what are the common goals between health and agriculture and use this as a lever to create positive change. So those are my key messages, and then I'll continue and try to expound a little bit on some of these. My organization it's a Brussels-based alliance of public health organizations, and what we're really trying to do is to include a public health dimension in agriculture policy. The common agriculture policy accounts for about 40% of the total EU budget, and it is actually the driver of agriculture policy in the European Union member states. And what we're looking at, and I think repeating what the first speaker said, we want to look at having a joined-up approach that targets healthy eating environments and provides a strategy to tackle chronic disease. Now, what we do, too, is we look at the environmental aspects of food and also global food security issues. And I think that the agendas are slowly converging, and what we really need to work towards is more plant-based diets. So for those of you that don't know what a school fruit scheme is, usually what I try to do is present it in pictures instead of words. Basically, it's about increasing the accessibility to fresh fruits and vegetables in school environments. And this is basically how it looks in practice. There's a number of different ways of doing it, but basically it's about putting the fruit in front of the children. As you can see, they're so excited that they jump over the desk to get to it. They actually eat the fruit, both boys and girls, and at the end of the day, you've increased fruit and vegetable consumption substantially. I think our estimates are between 0.3 all the way up to one portion per day increases. I'm going to skip that slide and that slide. Basically, what the EU program does is it provides a financial framework, 90 million a year for doing this. And the European Parliament came right back and said 90 million is not enough. If we really want to make an impact on school children's diets, that we need to increase the budget to 500 million so that every school child in Europe is provided with a piece of fresh fruit or vegetable every day of the school year. Now, we completely agree with this, but when we were trying to figure out how much we're asking for, we were looking at other programs and initiatives that were similar and based our ask on that. It wasn't pure science, but I think we hit pretty well. But the European Parliament, the elected officials in the EU, are showing a huge amount of support for the program. And the good thing about the program is that they'll be monitoring and evaluating, and that will feed into the post-2013 CAP debate, which could indeed offer funding of up to 500 million a year. So basically, one of the key issues in our successful advocacy is that we partnered with the fruit and vegetable industry. There had been several isolated attempts to start a school fruit and vegetable scheme in the European Union, one coming from public health and one coming from the fruit and vegetable industry, namely Freshfel, which is the representative of the fresh fruit and vegetable sector in Brussels. But what really happened was when we sat down at the table and started working together, that's when things really started moving. Now, if we would have organized the briefing for Parliament, which we that's where we really packaged our evidence alone, then we wouldn't have had people from DG Agri, which is the Director General for Agriculture and Rural Affairs. They wouldn't have been at the table. And if it would have been the fresh fruit and industry alone, then DG Senko, the public health. So it's about lining up and having constituencies, I think, is the key word. So we had agriculture people, we had public health people, and a variety of stakeholders. I think I'm kind of slowly running out of time. So the last point I really want to make is political champions. And one of the things I think, if you don't have people on all levels championing this, that it's really difficult to get through. We had the commissioner who was, I think in some ways, introduced the idea to the College of Commissioners, which decides what programs they implement in the EU. And she really wanted to make this move forward. And I think one of the reasons that she wanted to was, did she want to be remembered for the reform of the wine sector, or did she want to be remembered for doing something positive for school children, improving their health and diets? We also had another type of champion, and that was our administrative champion. He's the director general, or the deputy director general at DG Agri. And what he really did was he opened up his resources to public health people like me and said, this is something that we really want to work on. It's important for agriculture. It's a way to relink children with where their food comes from, and it also has a clear public health goal. This is something that we really need to do. And by doing that, he opened up the commission and an opportunity to change, because one of the things working with some of the people in the commission is there's a lot of reluctance to change because it creates extra work. But what he really did was push this far. So those are my key messages, and with that, I'll go all the way to my... Actually, could I just... Because I was asked to sum up with a question. And what I'd really like to say is sometimes we seem to be doing small fixes, small reforms of agriculture and food policy, and this is related to the CAP. But what I really like is should we continue making small changes, or do we really need to make a radical change in the food system? And how can we better link health, environment, infrastructure, and agriculture, not just only for healthier eating environments, but also for climate change and also for global food security? Thank you.